Today is the 24th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. And fantastic that we can take the next step forward into and through the adventure that are the scriptures in a year in community. And so let's get to that. We're reading from the Names of God Bible this week. And we will continue forward in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, verse 24 through 47, verse 7, before taking the next step forward in Paul's second letter to Timothy. But first, Jeremiah, chapter 44. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including the women, "Listen to the word of Yahweh, all you people of Judah who are in Egypt. This is what Yahweh, Tzabaoth, the Elohim of Israel, says. You and your wives made promises, and you have kept them. You said, 'We will certainly do what we vow. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out wine offerings to her.' So go ahead, keep your vows and do what you vow, but listen to the word of Yahweh. All you people of Judah who live in Egypt, I swear by my great name, says Yahweh, that no one from Judah who lives anywhere in Egypt will ever again call on my name and take the oath, 'As Adonai, Yahweh, lives.' I am going to watch over them. I am going to watch over them to bring disasters, not blessings. In Egypt, the people from Judah will die in wars and famines until everyone is gone. Those who escape the wars will return to Judah from Egypt. Then all the people of Judah who went to live in Egypt will know whose words have come true, mine or theirs. I will give you this sign, declares Yahweh. I will punish you in this place so that you will know that my threats of disaster will happen to you. This is what Yahweh says. I'm going to hand Pharaoh, Hophra, king of Egypt, over to his enemies and to those who want to kill him, just as I handed over King Zedekiah of Judah to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and to those who wanted to kill him. This is the message that the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah. Baruch wrote these things on a scroll as Jeremiah dictated them during the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah. Jeremiah said, "This is what Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, says to you, Baruch. You said, 'I'm so miserable. Yahweh has added grief to my pain. I'm worn out from groaning. I can't find any rest.' Say this to Baruch. This is what Yahweh says. I will tear down what I have built. I will uproot what I have planted throughout the earth. Are you looking for great things for yourself? Don't look for them, because I'm going to bring disaster on all people, declares Yahweh. But wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life." Yahweh spoke this message to the prophet Jeremiah about the nations. This is the message about Egypt, about the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon defeated his army at Carchemish, along the Euphrates River, during the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah. "Get your large and small shields ready. Advance into battle. Harness your horses. Mount up, you horsemen. Take your positions and put on your helmets. Polish your spears. Put on your armor. What do I see in them? They are terrified. They are retreating. Their warriors are defeated. They flee without looking back. Terror is all around them, declares Yahweh. The infantry can't flee. The warriors can't escape. They stumble and fall in the north by the Euphrates River. Who is this, rising like the Nile River, like streams that flow swiftly? Egypt is like the rising Nile River, like a river quickly overflowing its banks. Egypt says, I will rise. I will cover the earth. I will destroy cities and the people in them. Go into battle, you horsemen. Drive wildly, you chariot drivers. March into battle, you warriors. You warriors from Sudan and Put, who carry shields. You warriors from Lydia, who use bows and arrows. That day belongs to Adonai, Yahweh, Tzabaoth. It is a day of vengeance, when he will take revenge on his enemies. His sword will devour until it has had enough, and it will drink their blood until it's full. Adonai, Yahweh, Tzabaoth, will offer them as sacrifices in the north by the Euphrates River. Go to Gilead and get medicine, dear people of Egypt. You have used many medicines without results. You can't be cured. The nations have heard of your shame. Your cry fills the earth. One warrior will stumble over another, and both will fall together. Yahweh spoke this message to the prophet Jeremiah about the coming of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who will defeat Egypt. Tell this in Egypt. Announce this in Migdol. Make it known in Memphis and Tophnes. Say, take your positions and get ready. Swords will kill those around you. Why should your soldiers be cut down? They can't stand because Yahweh will push them down. They have repeatedly stumbled and now they have fallen. They say to each other, get up, let's go back to our people, to the land where we were born, and escape our enemy's sword. There they will cry, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is a big windbag. He has missed his chance. As I live, declares the Melech, whose name is Yahweh, Tzabaoth. Someone who is like Mount Tabor among the mountains will come. Someone who is like Mount Carmel by the sea will come. Pack your bags, inhabitants of Egypt, because you will be taken away as captives. Memphis will become a dreary wasteland, a pile of rubble where no one lives. Egypt is like a beautiful cow, but a horsefly from the north will attack it. Egypt's hired soldiers are like fattened calves. They will turn and run away together. They won't stand their ground. The day of destruction is coming. At that time, they will be punished. Egypt will hiss like a snake as it slithers away. Its enemies will come with full force. They will attack it with axes like those who chop wood. They will cut down the forest, declares Yahweh, since Egypt can't be found. They are more numerous than locusts. They can't be counted. The people of Egypt will be put to shame. They will be handed over to the people from the north. Yahweh, Tzabaoth, the Elohim of Israel, says, I'm going to punish Ammon, who is the god of Thebes. I will also punish Pharaoh, Egypt, its gods, its kings, and whoever trusts Pharaoh. I'll hand them over to those who want to kill them, to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and his officers. Afterward, they will live in peace as they did long ago, declares Yahweh. Don't be afraid, my servant Jacob. Don't be terrified, Israel. I'm going to rescue you and your descendants from a faraway land, from the land where you are captives. Then Jacob's descendants will again have undisturbed peace, and no one will make them afraid. Don't be afraid, my servant Jacob, declares Yahweh. I am with you. I will completely destroy all the nations where I scattered you, but I will not completely destroy you. I will correct you with justice. I won't let you go entirely unpunished. Yahweh spoke this message to the prophet Jeremiah about the Philistines before Pharaoh defeated Gaza. This is what Yahweh says. Water is rising in the north. It will become an overflowing river. It will overflow the land and everything in it, the cities and those who live in them. People will cry out, and everyone who lives in the land will cry loudly. They will hear the sound of galloping war horses, the rattling of enemy chariots, and the rumbling of their wheels. Fathers who lack courage abandon their children. The time has come to destroy all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon any Philistine who might have escaped to get help. Yahweh will destroy the Philistines and anyone who is left from the island of Crete. Gaza will shave its head in mourning. Ashkelon will be destroyed. How long will you cut yourselves, you people left on the plains? You cry out, Sword of Yahweh, how long will you keep on fighting? Go back into your scabbard. Stay there and rest. How can the sword of Yahweh rest? Yahweh has ordered it to attack Ashkelon and the coast. He has put it there. Second Timothy, chapter 3. You must understand this. In the last days, there will be violent periods of time. People will be selfish and love money. They will brag, be arrogant, and use abusive language. They will curse their parents, show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy, and lack normal affection for their families. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. They will be slanderous, lack self-control, be brutal, and have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. They will love pleasure rather than God. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. Stay away from such people. Some of these men go into homes and mislead weak-minded women who are burdened with sins and led by all kinds of desires. These women are always studying but are never able to recognize the truth. As Johns and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men opposed the truth. Their minds are corrupt, and the faith they teach is counterfeit. Certainly they won't get very far. Like the stupidity of Johns and Jambres, their stupidity will be plain to everyone. But you know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You also know about the kind of persecutions and sufferings which happened to me in the cities of Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. I endured those persecutions, and the Lord rescued me from all of them. Those who try to live a godly life because they believe in Christ, Yeshua, will be persecuted. But evil people and phony preachers will go from bad to worse as they mislead people and are themselves misled. However, continue in what you have learned and found to be true. You know who your teachers were. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. They have the power to give you wisdom so that you can be saved through faith in Christ Yeshua. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. Psalm 94. O Yahweh, El of Vengeance, O El of Vengeance, appear. Arise, O Shofet of the earth. Give arrogant people what they deserve. How long, O Yahweh, will wicked people triumph? How long? They ramble. They speak arrogantly. All troublemakers brag about themselves. They crush your people, O Yahweh. They make those who belong to you suffer. They kill widows and foreigners, and they murder orphans. They say, Yah doesn't see. The Elohim of Jacob doesn't even pay attention to it. Pay attention, you stupid people. When will you become wise, you fools? Elohim created ears. Do you think he can't hear? He formed eyes. Do you think he can't see? He disciplines nations. Do you think he can't punish? He teaches people. Do you think he doesn't know anything? Yahweh knows that people's thoughts are pointless. Oh Yah, blessed is the person whom you discipline and instruct from your teachings. You give him peace and quiet from times of trouble, while a pit is dug to trap wicked people. Yahweh will never desert his people or abandon those who belong to him. The decisions of judges will again become fair, and everyone whose motives are decent will pursue justice. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will stand by my side against troublemakers? If Yahweh had not come to help me, my soul would have quickly fallen silent in death. When I said, my feet are slipping, your mercy, O Yahweh, continued to hold me up. When I worried about many things, your assuring words soothed my soul. Are wicked rulers who use the law to do unlawful things able to be your partners? They join forces to take the lives of righteous people. They condemn innocent people to death. Yahweh has become my stronghold. My Elohim has become my rock of refuge. He has turned their own wickedness against them. He will destroy them because of their sins. Yahweh, our Elohim, will destroy them. Proverbs 26, 6 through 8. Whoever uses a fool to send a message cuts off his own feet and brings violence upon himself. Like a lame person's limp legs, so is a proverb in the mouths of fools. Like tying a stone to a sling, so is giving honor to a fool. Okay, so this week we're reading from the Names of God translation, which, like I said yesterday, preserves any reference to God in its original language. And so most of the words used for God, we kind of recognize, we've heard them around, but the Names of God Bible puts them in some context, like using them in sentences so that we can see like how they're actually used. And so yesterday we looked at, what does it mean when the Bible says, I am Yahweh Tzabaoth Elohim of Israel, which means I am Yahweh, the Lord of armies, or the leader of the heavenly hosts, the God of Israel. And we talked about in the New Testament when we see Yeshua, we're just pronouncing Jesus' name in its original tongue. So we come to a couple of other words today. Let's just point them out so that we'll always know going forward when we hear these names pronounced or in song or, you know, spoken somewhere, we know what they mean. So we come across as Adonai, Yahweh, lives. So, Adonai, you probably have mostly heard it Adonai. This translation phonetically writes it out, Adonai, because that is actually more proper Hebrew. Adon, Adonai, and we pronounce it Adonai. But this means the Lord, like the highest Lord, like the top Lord. And of course, we talked about Yahweh yesterday as being like a personal name ascribed to God. And so we can be like, so this is God's name? Like this is his first name? Like Yahweh is the name? Haven't they called, like isn't Jehovah? Like what are all these names? Well, in terms of Yahweh, when God speaks through Jeremiah, but it's not just Jeremiah, but we're in particular talking about Jeremiah because we're reading through Jeremiah as we read this translation. This is what God calls himself, Yahweh. So for God to say, as Adonai Yahweh lives, he's essentially saying, as the highest God lives. So like, as the highest Lord of all who is God and whose name is Yahweh lives. That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about Adonai, Yahweh. And when God refers to himself as Yahweh Elohim, he's just saying, I am the God whose name is Yahweh. Okay, let's look at another one. As I live, declares the Melech, whose name is Yahweh Tzabaoth. Well, we've already talked about Yahweh Tzabaoth. What is Melech? Melech is the king. So as I live, declares the king, whose name is Yahweh, the Lord of armies. Okay, and then we get into the Psalms and we encounter the word El, E-L, which is just root of Elohim, and it just means God, like the highest, the mightiest, God, El. And we also encounter, arise, O Shofet of the earth. So Shofet is one who governs, so like the judge. Like, arise, O judge of the earth. Okay, so there's our Hebrew for the day. So let's talk about 2 Timothy. So in this letter, Paul, as he often does, is making some contrasts. But we have to understand the context, or at least remind ourselves of the context. This is a personal letter from Paul to Timothy. Timothy has been raised up in the faith since youth, and has been a protege and a son in the faith of Paul. So Paul has mentored Timothy up in ministry and has placed him as the pastor of the church in Ephesus. So Paul is writing to somebody that he knows well, and he's writing to somebody that he trusts and who trusts him, and he's writing in the context of a personal letter to a pastor, to someone leading God's people. And when that context becomes apparent, like what we are actually talking about here, it really opens up. So Paul tells Timothy, you've got to understand, in the last days, There are going to be violent periods of time, and people will be selfish, and they will love money, and they'll brag, and they'll be arrogant, and they'll be abusive with their language, and they'll curse their parents, show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy. They'll lack the normal affection that you find in families, and they won't be willing to make peace with anyone. Like, these are the people that have to be right. Even if they're wrong, they have to be right. They'll be slanderous. They won't have any self-control. They can be brutal. And they can have no love for what is good. They'll be traitors. They'll be reckless and conceited. And it'll be pleasure that they're after more than seeking God. They'll look good, like on paper. They'll appear to have a godly life, but they will not let the Holy Spirit change them by His power. You need to avoid those kinds of people. So we can read that as instructions just for our daily lives, for those kinds of people who are like black holes sucking the life out of every room they walk into. Or, you know, people who are two-faced, who are really just playing a game. So, you know, we could take that and go, all right, I know some of those kind of people. But when you bring it into the context of a pastor or a priest, we begin to understand that this is a dangerous kind of person within a faith community. All kinds of dissension and division and any number of things can happen. Paul even goes on to talk about how some of these people, these guys, they go into, you know, quote unquote, minister to women, and the ministry may be a little bit different than studying scripture. It may be more ministry done in the bedroom. And Paul's just saying, like, none of this is good. And none of this will build up the community. And you gotta understand what you're dealing with here and avoid it. Shut it down. And, you know, so like those of you who are pastors, you got this crystal clear. Like, you know exactly what Paul's talking about, which is interesting that Paul's talking about this a couple of thousand years ago in the early church. And these kinds of things continue to go on. And these kinds of behaviors are so destructive inside of a community. And these kinds of people who are not willing, as Paul would say, to allow God's power to change them. And these are the kinds of people that go from place to place to place to place, causing harm. The kind of people that have a desire for community, but are so broken that they want the whole thing formed around them. Everything centers around their orbit, and they can't be wrong. So Paul is essentially saying, like, this is not healthy. This behavior is not healthy. And when it's habitual, and a person isn't pressing in any way, like isn't looking for transformation, doesn't even see that they're doing anything wrong, and will not be corrected, will fight even when they know they're wrong, there's a non-starter here. There's no way to move forward, and it's got to be avoided. And so Paul then contrasts that kind of behavior with his own, because what he's telling Timothy is, look, this kind of stuff is going to show up from time to time, and you just need to be able to spot it early and understand completely what's going on here. And so when you do spot this kind of stuff, you also have a couple of reference points for how things should be. You have my example. So Paul's saying, you have my example. You have walked with me and lived with me and ministered with me. You have what you've seen. And you have the scriptures. So let's start with the contrast of Paul. Paul's saying, look, you know my teachings. You know how I live my life. You know what burns inside me as purpose. You have witnessed my faith. You have seen my patience. You have seen my love. and you have seen me endure things, and you know about the persecutions and sufferings that happened to me. You were there in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra when things were not going so well, and I was getting stoned and thrown out of places. So you've seen what I've gone through, and I endured those things, and you watched God rescue me, which is a direct contrast to the kind of behavior that I'm telling you to avoid in your personal life and in the faith community of Ephesus. So you know that. And you know that I have lived true, and you have also watched me face persecution. You have watched me face opposition. So you've got to know that this kind of comes with the territory. And so he sums this thought up by saying, listen, continue in what you have learned and what you have found to be true. You know who your teachers were, so stick to that. And don't listen to everything that's going on, all the discussion that's going on, stuff that we were talking about yesterday. From infancy, Paul says, Timothy, from your infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, and they have the power to give you wisdom so that you can navigate all this, and so that you can be saved through faith in Jesus. Which brings us to Paul's declaration on the value of Scripture, which also happens to be like a formative scripture for what we do here every day, for the Daily Audio Bible and for the community that we are. Paul succinctly names why it is that we do what we're doing together every single day as we journey through the scriptures in a year. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of them are useful for teaching, pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip God's servants so that they are completely prepared to do good things. This is why we're here. This is why we do what we do. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness in it. And like we were talking about yesterday, just the adventure of discovery. It's endless. The context, the words, the way that they speak to us and go inside of us and transform us as we continue to expand and mature and grow up in you. And so we do believe that every scripture passage is inspired by God. And we do believe all of them are useful for teaching and pointing out errors and correcting people and training them for a life that has your approval. This is what happens to us every day. So we can bear this out in our own lives, that yes, your word has done those things in our lives, and you have equipped us so that we're prepared to do good things. We're prepared. We may choose otherwise, but you have prepared us and continue to transform us through your word. And so, come Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue that work that you have begun in us at the beginning of this year, and to see it through all the way to the end of this year, as we continue to speak your word, every single word in the scriptures this year. Come Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, DAB family, it's your sister Ashley from California, and I'm reaching out today to request prayer from you guys. I appreciate your guys' prayers so much, and you've been there for us through the loss of my grandmother and through all the things with Jackson and my dad, and so I'm lifting up my grandfather, my Papa Lee. He is currently in the hospital. He's been in and out of the hospital with issues related to pneumonia and aspirating and figuring out how to continue caring for him. And it's a scary time right now, and he's fragile, and we're having to adjust and learn, and it's very hard. It's very scary, and we need prayer. We need wisdom. We need guidance. We have our plates full, but we need the Lord to continue giving us wisdom and strength. And I know that He does not shame anybody who asks, and he will freely give it. And we're humbly asking for wisdom. We're asking for strength. We're asking for compassion and gentleness to take care of my grandfather, my papa, Lee. So please lift him up, you guys. We appreciate you, and we love you, and we are praying with you guys every day. Thank you. I love you, DAB family. Love your sister, Ashley, from California.
Good morning, Dappers. I just want to praise the Lord for all that he has done. I also want to thank all of you. I appreciate the daily audio Bibles. It helps to keep us grounded. It is a source of encouragement. And be ready, thank Brian for this initiative. I give you all the glory, all the praise, and I encourage our Dabbers to continue to worship and praise our loving Savior, who, without whom we can do nothing, but with whom we can do all things. I pray for all those who might be listening, who might be going through difficulties at this time. I pray that the Lord will continue to just bless you, touch you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Even if you're going through hardship, if you're going through trials, trust God that he will come through for you. Whatever difficulties you are praying, you're facing, please depend on the Lord, the source of all strength, the one with the healing balm, our Savior. We give him all the glory. We give him all the praise. And we thank him for being always with us.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, aka Great to Be Free in Jesus. I'm calling in today because I work for a large insurance company, and they're sending a lot of our work to other countries. And every day I struggle to find work. It's very frustrating because I like to feel like I've earned my money, and I don't want to sit there and twiddle my thumbs because they sent our work to other countries. Plus, they also have robots doing some of our work. And they said if anybody leaves the company that they won't be replacing anyone. So, I guess I need to start looking for another job. I don't know if I should look in another company or what I should do. But I ask you to pray that God would lead me and guide me in the right direction and open the right doors for me and to close the doors that he doesn't want me to walk through. I love you, my wonderful DAB family. God bless you. Bye.
Hey, DAB community. It's Morning Lift. I'm reaching out to ask for your prayers. I am in a rough spot. I just lost my job. And as you can imagine, that is putting a lot of stress on the separation that I'm going through, the lawsuit that I'm involved in. It is just not fun. I have a court date again on Monday. And Monday the 23rd of October, and please be in prayer about that. Please pray for God's will to be done. This one is really more around financial stuff, which, as you can imagine, is really hard going into with zero income. And I just don't know what is going to happen and what the judge is going to decide. I pray that God's will would be done, and I pray that whatever is decided would be best for all involved, especially my kids. I don't want to see them go without or have any difficulty, but the facts are the facts. And until I get reemployed, things might be a little bare, a little sparse, and that's hard to accept. But God has a plan, and, you know, sometimes he disciplines us and teaches us and uses these hard things to draw us closer to him. So for that, I'm grateful. I am grateful because it's drawing me closer to God. I am seeing things about myself that I never saw before. And God is working on me. He's doing a good work in my heart. Even though it seems my life is falling apart around me, my family, my work. Man, I just don't know what to do anymore. But I ask, family, for you to lift me up in prayer and lift up my wife and kids in prayer and pray that God's will would be done in the situation. In Jesus' name, amen.